This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Thursday, March 26th. I'm Audrey McCabe. A third round of No Kings protests will be held across the country on Saturday. Western Slope towns, including Montrose, Telluride, Paonia, and Grand Junction, will see rallies and marches opposing President Trump's policies. No Kings organizers say that this could potentially be the largest protest in American history. This weekend's events follow an October protest joined nationwide by 7 million Americans across all 50 states. According to No Kings, this amounted to 14 times the attendance of both of Trump's inaugurations combined. The Gunnison Outdoor Resources Protection Act was first introduced to Congress in 2024 by Colorado's U.S. Senators Michael Bennett and John Hickenlooper. The act would protect more than 730,000 acres of public land on the Western Slope through various public land management tools. It languished in Congress, but last May, Representative Jeff Hurd introduced the legislation in the House. This week, the GORP Act Coalition released a letter from 112 businesses across the region supporting the Gunnison Outdoor Resources Protection Act and affirming that conservation and public lands are an asset for Western Colorado. The letter states that the GORP Act reflects more than a decade of local collaboration by the people who live, work, and recreate in and around the Gunnison Basin. It protects the public lands, clean water, wildlife, and wide open spaces that are central not only to our quality of life, but also to our economy. As a result of that extensive work, it is no surprise that the GORP Act is broadly supported by six counties, the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe, several municipalities, members of the Gunnison Public Lands Initiative, and a number of nonprofit recreation and conservation organizations. To learn more about the GORP Act, check out KVNF's Local Motion episode from last October. You can find it at kvnf.org under the Local Motion tab. A new nonprofit, Paonia Literacy Project, has announced their official launch in Delta County. The project, which operates as a nonprofit arm of Paonia Books, aims to create and preserve cultural and community spaces centered around reading and writing, while expanding access to books, especially for local youth. According to a press release, the organization has been active in Delta County for the past 9 months, and has given away more than 600 books to local schools and at community events. You can learn more about the project and upcoming events at paoniabooks.com. Artificial intelligence and cloud computing are fueling rapid growth in data centers across the nation. Eric Galatis has more.
Artificial intelligence and cloud computing are fueling rapid growth in data centers across the nation. Data centers require vast amounts of water and electricity, and Colorado lawmakers are considering a measure that aims to address concerns about higher utility bills, depleted water resources, and increased reliance on fossil fuels. Michigan State University Assistant Professor Gene Hardy says deciding where to site a data center is important.
If you are going to build a data center in a largely agricultural community, and the data center moves in and all of a sudden needs to use tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of gallons of water from local aquifers.
Senate Bill 26-102 would require data centers to optimize and report their water use. The measure would also require operators to tap new renewable sources like wind and solar and cover all of their energy costs, including any expansions to the electric grid. Opponents claim the bill would cut Colorado out of the AI sector and send thousands of new jobs to other states. However, Hardy doesn't believe jobs created by data centers would significantly move the needle on employment.
The types of jobs that usually come with data centers are limited and oftentimes aren't necessarily going to people in the local communities themselves. That being said, data centers do provide a lot of construction jobs.
Senate Bill 26-102 is far different from a bill introduced in January, which would exempt data centers from paying any sales and use taxes for at least 20 years, a proposal critics call irresponsible as the state faces a budget shortfall of over $1.5 billion. Hardy says part of the issue is trying to convince people that they actually need data centers.
Activists and community groups who are very well-intentioned, and I'm like, you're posting about being against data centers on Instagram. Your Instagram post requires a data center.
This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
It's almost fawning season across parts of the Rocky Mountain West. By mid-May, mule deer will begin giving birth, and if all is well, most will have twins. But new research suggests survival rates for young deer may be declining in some areas. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KZMU's Emily Arnston reports.
Fawns in the La Salles and San Juans have the lowest survival rate in southern Utah, with just 20% of fawns making it past 6 months old.
What is the issue, right? Is it predation?
Ian Montgomery is a biologist with the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources. Originally, he and his colleagues thought black bears were killing the fawns. But then, researchers with Brigham Young University, the University of Utah, and the Division of Wildlife Resources started taking a closer look.
We had like a really high rate of stillborns, 13 stillborns or something across the La Salle and San Juan for like close to 90 something fawns. So like pretty high percentage of the fawns were stillborn, and we were finding like whole carcass fawns. And it's like, there's something else going on here.
The fawns weren't dying from predators. Researchers on the joint study now think they were dying from chronic wasting disease, or CWD.
And we're starting to see there's maybe a potential link between CWD positive and like reproductive implications. So either they abort the fawns or stillborn fawns, or they're dying within their first couple weeks of life.
The fatal, highly contagious disease affects deer at a higher rate in this region than anywhere else in the state. During the most recent samples in 2024, biologists found that more than 20% of the deer they tested were positive. 36 of 165 deer had CWD. In Moab, they think that number is even higher.
We picked up 37 deer out of the city limits of Moab and Castle Valley, and all 37 of those deer came back positive for CWD. We know we have people who are feeding the deer. They're living in people's backyards, which, you know, people are really excited about the deer, which is awesome. We want people to be excited about wildlife, but now you've got CWD positive animals who are borderline being baited into somebody's backyard, and they're coming in contact with deer that are not CWD positive. It just spreads really quickly across the population.
Most cases of CWD show up later in a deer's life, around 3 years old. But new research shows the disease can be transmitted from mother to fawn during pregnancy. A recent study found the infectious prions were present in fetal tissues at birth. To get those samples, researchers had to know when and where fawns were being born. That meant capturing pregnant does and tagging them with special GPS trackers.
So behind you, a helicopter's coming in with a deer?
Two deer.
Yeah, two deer, yeah. The point of this capture here is to catch pregnant does, in which they'll get a VIT, which is a vaginal implant transmitter, and this will actually go up the vaginal canal. Mm-hmm. So when the doe gives birth, this gets pushed out with the fawns, and then it's got a light and a temperature sensor on it. So when it's expelled, it actually sends an email saying birth event triggered, and then we can go in, find where she gave birth, and then look for the fawns and do our processing there.
This kind of research wasn't possible until a couple of years ago, when a new kind of CWD test was developed.
You know, we're trying to work on a live test for CWD because historically we've had to be, you know, either the brainstem or the lymph nodes, in which the deer's had to be dead.
Are there any indicators that these deer have CWD without checking?
Well, yeah, not without checking, right? Deer in the later stages of chronic wasting disease, like behaviorally and physically, kind of have telltale signs, super skinny and just acting strangely, right? But these deer are both like prime age in good shape, so there's like really no indication of it. Not saying it's impossible.
Even if the fawns aren't positive for CWD when they're born, if the doe has CWD during the pregnancy, it can still cause other complications for the fawn.
Does in better condition give birth to bigger fawns, and bigger fawns have higher survival than smaller fawns. So if you've got a doe in poor shape, and you know, that's setting it up for failure, even if it doesn't die in the first couple weeks of life anyways.
Wildlife managers say this could complicate efforts to control the disease, which already has no known cure and can persist in the environment for years. In Utah, the mule deer population has declined by about 20% since 2018.
That's your KBNF Regional Newscast. I'm Audrey McCabe.